Chapter 4, continuing our look at the sower and the seed sown. Now, we last Sunday talked about sowing. The sower went forth to sow, and we are sowers. The Lord does not sow, He increases what we sow. So if seed is going to be sown, we have to sow it. That's part of the responsibility that He's given to us. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, about that he and Apollos, one sowed, another watered, but God gives the increase. He that sows is nothing. He that waters is nothing. God gives the increase, gets all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. But it is our responsibility to sow. He can't bless the seed if there's not any seed out there. If we don't sow, then we're not going to reap. And so it's important that we sow. Now, last time, Wednesday night, we looked at the wayside. We're examining the fate of the seed sown. And we looked at the wayside and saw that the wayside had to do with packed paths that ran crisscross across these fields, and of course that area around the edge of the field that seed would fall on where man had walked. But the idea of the wayside in every case is that human feet and animal feet, if they're leading some animal or something of that nature, pack the soil. And so we learned this about the wayside soil, that there was nothing wrong with the soil itself, except that it will not receive seed because it has been packed. And so there's no place for the seed to get into the ground, and so the birds, or the fowls, and that is told us, that's the devil, he comes right behind the sower. And if you've seen those pictures or you've sown seed, sometimes those birds do not even give you a chance to get hardly out of the way. They'll land and come along behind you, immediately picking up the seed that fell by the wayside. Now, folks, this can be a sinner's heart that has been hardened and corrupted by the philosophies and ideologies and thinking of men. Remember, the problem with this soil is men. Men have trampled it. Men have packed it. And so the same thing is true if a Christian, you as a Christian, may have areas in your life. You're saved. You know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, but your heart has some packed passageways in it, some areas in which when the preacher preaches on Sunday morning, or you read the scripture yourselves or hear the scripture read, it falls and it does you no good because you refuse to let that particular part of your heart be cultivated. You want to think what you want to think. You have your own ideas. You're not going to let anything bother that. You're going to hold on to what you want to hold on to. You're not going to let the Word of God get in and help and do something in that area of your life. Now, we all are guilty of this. The wayside is not something strange and unusual to any of us, sinner or Christian alike. It's those places in our lives that have been hardened by rejection, by refusing to submit, by not allowing God to speak to us. And listen now, that seed doesn't lay around and get another chance. See? It doesn't lay around there and then later on, maybe it gets broken up and it gets to get in and you say, oh yeah, you get late. No, you don't. You see, the wayside, when seed falls on the wayside, the devil comes along right behind and takes it up. You see, something supernatural goes on when the Word of God is preached. It always does. It's supernatural on the part that of God, or supernatural on the part of God. But it's supernatural. The Word of God is preached, and it either falls and brings forth some kind of growth, as we're going to see, or it falls and is picked up immediately by Satan. That's a supernatural thing. You say, I haven't seen him around. Oh, yes, he's all around, and he's always there to pick up. He's here this morning to pick up the seed that falls. As I preach this morning, and I preach the Word, that's the seed. And that falls on the wayside, he's there to pick it up. It's not going to lay around and get used sometime later. Okay? It's going to be picked up immediately by Satan. That's what the Scripture says. And so it behooves us to have hearts that are ready to receive, doesn't it, when we come to church. We need to say, Lord, I'm open to your Word. There's nothing in my life, nothing I'm hanging on to, nothing I will try to hold on to. Break up every bit of ground. There'll be nothing that is packed and hardened. Lord, if there's some area of my life that I'm keeping to myself, that I'm refusing to turn over to you, Lord, if there's anything that's not like it ought to be, help me now fix it up so that the Word may fall into ground that is softened and prepared. We need to come to church that way. We need to always listen to the Word of God that way. When you sit down in the morning or whenever you have your devotion time, you sit down to read the Scripture. You need to pray, Lord, prepare my heart now to receive what you have for me this morning. Okay? If there's some area in my life that you're fixing to speak and I'm going to listen, Lord, forgive me now and break it up and help me to listen. Help me to get it this morning. Brother, I'll tell you, if you start the day like that, you get into the Word like that, you come to church like that, you're going to get something. You're going to get something from the Word. But if you come with a heart packed and your own ideas, your own philosophy of things, you think you already know, then God can't teach you anything. Spoke to a young girl at a checkout counter a day or two ago and asked her, she was smiling and just cutting up and laughing and seemed so jovial and friendly. And I said, you must be a Christian. She looked at me and said, no, not. Said, I used to go to church, but said, I quit going because there's so many hypocrites there. And said, I have my own ideas anyway. I believe in God, things like that. I have my own ideas. See, now, you couldn't sow any seed on that ground. She's already packed it. She's determined that she knows. And I'm not saying that God can't get through to her, obviously, and I trust that he might. And maybe the very question that I said, well, you smiling so and laughing so, I said, that's the way a Christian ought to act. Be happy and jovial. And I said, I just thought by that, it maybe that'll shake her, maybe some seed will fall, something. But that's the problem with the human heart. Now, the second kind of soil we want to look at today, and this is the seed that falls upon the stony ground. Now, let's read verse 5 and 6 in Mark chapter 4. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And then down to verse 16 and 17 for Jesus' explanation of this. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. Now, there are two times immediately is used in that, and that's interesting. I have written in the margin of my Bible, fast start and quick decline. That's the kind of response that this ground gave to the Word of God, the stony ground. Now, the stony ground does not mean that there was soil there with stones mixed in it. That's not the idea. Stony ground was ground, and in Matthew and in Luke, some of the areas, this make it a little clearer, but where soil had fallen on top of huge rocks, and there was enough soil on top of that rock for the seed to get into. But then as soon as the seed sprouted, the roots hit the rock. There was no depth of earth. It could not reach down and get roots. And so as soon as the sun was up, then it withered and was done for. Now, stony ground is, you know, we're fortunate down in this country. You talk about stony ground to people down this country, and they really don't know what you're talking about. But if you go into a lot of different parts of the United States, I know particularly this is true in some sections of North Carolina and South Carolina, even other sections, I suppose, as well. You have to get the stones out of the ground before you can do much cultivating. There are rocks all in the ground. That's the way it is in the Bible lands, all over the Orient and the Middle East and so forth, particularly in the Middle East Bible section. And, of course, as you see the fields there, you'll see around the fields a row of stone fence. Well, the stone fence is there not so much to divide the property, although it does that, but it's something to do with the stones that you take out of your field. And every year, they keep getting more. It's almost like the stones grow. And so they have to keep taking them out, taking them out. Stones are common. But this is different from that in that these fields oftentimes have not only the small stones like that, but will have huge stones, especially closer to the hillsides and so forth. And then, of course, soil will gather there by the wind or from the cultivating or whatever, and between rocks, places like that, and there will be thin layers of soil. Now, as you look at that, it gives the appearance of good ground. It looks good. And also, the sun shines upon the rock, and of course, the rocks hold the heat even through the night and into the next day. They'll hold heat. And so the soil, even if the other ground is cool, the seed will spring more quickly in that ground than it will in the other part of the field. And notice that the scripture says that they received it, verse 16, with gladness. In Matthew it says, with joy. Now, there are two things that seem to be indicated, two qualities of this soil, or we might say of this human heart, for after all, Jesus is describing different kinds of hearts when he's describing the soil. And one quality that this carries with it is hypocrisy. It gives the appearance of a good place for seed to grow. And further than that, when you put the seed there, boy, they spring right up. And you would say, if you were the preacher or you were the soul winner that was out witnessing to these kind of people, the sower that was sowing the seed to these kind of people, you would be saying, praise the Lord. Look at what the seed's doing. Look at how it's springing up. Look how quickly people are responding. And yet, what you don't see underneath that thin layer of soil is a heart of stone. a stubborn, rebellious heart that is not repentant. It's willing to accept something that sounds good as long as it doesn't cost them anything, or there's no repentance involved on their part. And so, in effect, these kind of people are hypocritical in that they give the appearance of being very receptive to the gospel, and yet expecting some long-lasting results is another thing. Another thing. I expect that many times missionaries go out into fields that are sometimes this way. Of course, in some fields you go and you sow and sow and sow and get no kind of response, sometimes for years. Muslim areas and places like that. But there are those areas, and there are places even in this country where you'll get some kind of an immediate response, but it's not lasting, it's not permanent. And as soon as the heat of the day arises, as it says here, they have no root in themselves, and so endure but a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Quickly, immediately. They don't stand up at all. Now, the first thing then, of these two words that identifies this soil is hypocrisy. The second is that this kind of person is emotionally oriented. They received it with joy, with gladness. Oh, they said, this is wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful being a Christian. Oh, it's so wonderful being saved. It's so fun being saved. This is wonderful. Always be aware of that kind of response to the gospel. It's not a genuine response. It's not a genuine response. You see, the word of God is not to be received with joy. It is to be received with faith. It is to be received with understanding. If you read The Good Ground, they believed and received and brought forth fruit. Now, when you see someone, their primary response is emotional, you can figure it probably is not going to last. Now, that doesn't mean that a person, when he's convicted of sin, won't weep, and there'll be emotion. But when the Word of God gets into your heart and brings forth conviction, there's going to be some deep emotion, some real sense of sin and awareness of how wicked we are, and a consciousness of that's a bitter pill to swallow. It causes weeping often. And someone may even give other expressions of emotion when there has been some deep work of the Holy Spirit done in the heart. But when in a quick response to a casual planning of the Word comes like that, it's often not going to last. Now, I don't mean by that you should quit witnessing, you should stop speaking to people and giving them the gospel. I think it's just important that we understand that. Now, lots of much recent years used to do an awful lot of street preaching and witnessing on the street, things of that nature. And a lot of times you'll find people, you give them the gospel and they say, oh yeah, you know, I'll be saved, and you pray with them, and then you go home, mark that down as a conversion. You know, and if you get a quick response, it does not mean that they're not genuine. For many times the Spirit has prepared that person before you come, and that heart is ready. And you may get an immediate, genuine response. But we need to know and recognize that being a Christian is a serious matter. You're asking a person to enter a life of suffering, a life of persecution, a life of trial, a life of hardship. It's not something good is going to happen to you. Something bad is going to happen to you. The devil's going to give you a hard time if you stand for Christ and live for him. It's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. And that's the front. We need to be honest with young people. We need to be honest with adults. The Christian life is not for those seeking fun. Okay? If you're looking for fun, then you better go with the prodigal. The Christian life is a life of blessing, life of joy. It's a life of victory, but it's also a life of hardship, a life of trial, a life of suffering, a life of self-denial. See? Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross. It's a dying. Paul said, I die daily. That's the kind of life it is if you're going to walk the Christian life. So these who respond in this fashion are hypocritical in that they appear to be one thing when there's something else, and they generally respond with a lot of immediate emotion at this thing of salvation. Now, they're easily offended. I know as a preacher over the years, you see people as you pastor and minister the word, and sometimes you're so thrilled and excited at some conversions take place, and you're so hopeful that this is genuine, and you pray and try to teach and preach and build them up in the faith, and then some little something comes along and they're easily offended. A person like that is not a reasonable person. Do you know that one quality that goes along with being a good person is being a reasonable person? If I can't sit down and reason with you, or if you can't sit down and reason with me, then we're not reasonable. And we're not good people. Good people are always reasonable people. And you find somebody, you take whether it's a parent with their child, they get upset about their child. You say, wait, now let's talk about it. Let's talk about this situation. They don't want to talk. They want to blow. Well, generally, I just let them blow their steam off, and then say, all right, now that you've blown, I don't say that, but I say, now let's talk. And if they still don't want to talk, then might as well say, well, we have there's no grounds on which we can get together. No. Well, then what are we going to do? Well, I guess we're going to split. I mean, it's about all we can do, isn't it? I mean, if we can't sit down and talk, if we can't be reasonable, if we can't, you know, but some people are unreasonable. I mean, they're unreasonable. Some people are unreasonable about their children. They're completely unreasonable about their children. I mean, the children are right. They think the children are right. I don't care if the Lord Jesus Christ himself came and got on them, they'd fuss at him. Yeah. The children are right. They're always right. And one of the most hilarious things, I like to say this down again, one of the most hilarious things that I ever hear is when a parent says, my child will not lie. God help you. Ever since Adam sinned in the garden, there never has been a child that didn't lie. Never has been. There's not one today alive in the world that won't lie, including yours. And usually the ones, the parents that say, my child won't lie, is the one their children lie through their teeth all the time. See, people can be so unreasonable, so deceived, so unreasonable. Well, that's not a good person. A person is not a good person who's an unreasonable person. And so this kind of a person is the kind of person here that maybe gives a quick response to the gospel, but they're easily offended And as soon as it takes a little something to stand for Christ, they're checking out. Forget it. I didn't expect this. I'm not interested in this. I'm not wanting this. Now, so on the stony ground, you get a fast start and a fast decline. Now, the seed that fell among thorns. And verse 7 and verse 18 and 19, we read about that. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. This word choked is a good word here. It simply means compressed. It just came in on it with such force until the good seed could come forth to any fruit. The thorn bush took the sustenance from the ground. The thorn bush took the sunshine from the leaves. The thorn bush just overshadowed and compressed and came in on this plant until it was of no value. And we read Jesus' explanation, verse 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, which such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, this ground then that had the thorns in it. Now again, this ground looks and responds like good soil. The seed is planted. In a normal amount of time, the seed sprouts. The farmer says, that's a good section of my field. It looks like the rest of it. It's part of my good ground. Now, by this time, he can already see the stony ground because those there where the shallow earth was and the warmth of the rocks that caused it to spring up immediately, and now it's already begin to wilt and fall over, and he says, boy, there's nothing I can do about that. Nothing I can do about that. I can't break up that stone. I can't make good ground out of a stone. Nothing I can do about that. But now here's a section over here that looks good, looks like the rest of the field, and he doesn't know that in that ground when he sows that seed that was a thorn bush in that area sometime in the past, and those seed have filled that section that fallen off into the ground and are in that soil. You know, they don't make themselves readily available to the eye. And so he plants there, assuming that this area is good ground. And then as the plants grow, the thorn bushes spring up. And thorn bushes grow better than wheat bushes or corn bushes. Weeds always seem to grow better than anything else in the yard or in the garden or anywhere else. I used to worry about them in my yard, and I quit worrying about them. I just mow them just like they were grass. That's all I do. I just mow them, and when I cut them all off and get them short, they're green. And I realize, you know, they're not cushy and soft like maybe the grass would be, but at least they're green. And so I just quit worrying about them. Too big a yard to try to pull them out. And so if you were to look in my yard right now, because they especially do they come up early and get a good start, I see an awful lot of weeds in my yard at the present time. But you wait till later on and I get them mowed, they'll look a little better. But these grow right up around the plant, and as they grow, they begin to compress the plant, and you can look out there in the field and see this higher place. They grow taller than the grain and see that it is thorns, and they have just compressed and pushed and crushed that grain until it doesn't bring fruit. Now, In this kind of a person's heart, and this is something that you can't see to begin with in the human heart, but there was something wrong with this ground to start with. It had other seed in it. And all they did was add Christ. They just simply added Christ to life. Well, it doesn't work that way. No, it doesn't work that way. Good ground is devoid of other seeds. Good ground has only the seed that Christ plants. See? And so this soil appeared to be good soil, and yet there were seeds in the soil, and this new seed was just received along with it. And as it grew up, it became evident that the other seeds were there, and they choked the ground. Now, this, of course, the scripture says here that it was the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. This kind of soil is the person who really doesn't, when they come to Christ, as I said, they just add Christ. They don't sell out. They don't give all. They don't make him Lord of their life so that he rules and he controls. They just kind of add Christianity to their worldly ways. And they go on living like the world, acting like the world, talking like the world. Oh, they may come to church. They may join a church. They may even be, you know, faithful as far as services, things like that concerned. They may even take up things that are Christian, like tithing and other things that they ought to be doing, and do those kind of things that are kind of churchy, you know, and make you a little Christian-y. And take some of the smell off the world off you. But they're not Christian. You can't add Christ. He only comes in to the good ground. It's only the good soil. It's only the hearts that are prepared by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows how to get rid of the thorns and take care of that problem before they sprout. Now, the good ground is a seed that falls in the heart that has been cultivated by the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except my Father draw him." You don't just on a given day and a given hour say, "I think I'll be a Christian." Okay, what I do to be a Christian? Let's see. Well, it says, "Believe on Jesus Christ, you become a Christian." Well, I'll do that. I believe on Christ. I'm a now. It just doesn't work that way. That's not the way it is. The Holy Spirit draws. Jesus said, "I have chosen you. You did not choose me." And the Holy Spirit chooses, and the Holy Spirit draws. The Holy Spirit convicts. And that person who's been drawn by the Holy Spirit, convicted by the Holy Spirit, receives the word that is sowed. And that word falls into that heart that has been prepared and brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Let's read in verse 8. "Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit." There is the key to being a Christian. Every Christian yields fruit. There's no such thing as a Christian who does not yield fruit. Some yield 30, some 60, some 100, but the key to identify saved people, people who bring forth fruit. And they brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. At down in verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Those who, they hear the word, they receive the word, and they bring forth fruit. Now, some 30-fold. That is, there's some people that the soil that God has given them will only produce 30 bushels to an acre. There are other people that the soil that God has given them will produce 60 bushels to an acre. And there's some rare individuals have been throughout history, some rare individuals who would bring forth 100 bushels to an acre. I don't know how this breaks down as to what percent bring forth 30, what percent bring forth 60, what percent bring forth 100. But that depends upon the quality of the soil, the nutrients, the things that have been put there by the maker of the soil. You don't need to worry about being get all excited and think you're going to change from a 30 to 100 bushel Christian. No, you're going to bring forth, some going to bring forth 30, some going to bring forth 60, some going to bring forth 100. Now, you may be a 60 bushel Christian only bringing forth 20 or 30, and you need to get out into business. You need to get busy for the Lord. You need to get the word into your heart and life, growing and producing, so you can bring forth what you're capable of bringing forth. You shouldn't be satisfied to be a 30 bushel Christian if God made you to be a 60 bushel or a 100 bushel Christian. See? Just like we say to students, if you can make A's, you ought to make A's. If C's is the best you can do, then you ought to make C's. And if D's the best thing you can do, then make it and be proud of it. Thank the Lord for it. See? God gives us abilities, talents, those things that we produce fruit with. Now, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and goes on with those nine different evidences. The fruit, singular, of the Spirit of God. And those are to be in every individual life. We'll look at those another time. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we're responsible for the ground. We've got a hard heart, a heart of stone that just will not yield to the work of the Spirit of God. Just will not be broken. Then, Lord, you've given us a will, and we want to go to hell, we can go to hell. Then we're also responsible for these packed paths that run through our lives that refuse to let the seed in, the seed of the Word of God. Lord, help us to break up these areas and to be open to receive the Word of God in any and every area of our life. Father, may there are folks here this morning, hearts full of thorns. They may try to receive the Word, eternal life, into that field full of thorns. But Lord, they're not going to bring forth fruit. They're not going to be your child until they receive thee alone, till they are willing to turn from sin. We know that repentance, not only being sorry for sin, but it's also turning away from sin. And so, Lord, we ask that the Spirit of God would work in our hearts and bring us to a place of repentance, to where we recognize our wicked, sinful condition. We let the Holy Spirit do the work that He wants to do in convicting and drawing us unto Christ. We let the Word accomplish what it is to do, that is to spring forth in our lives, and Jesus Christ Himself is the living Word. We pray, Father, that You would speak to hearts and deal with lives this morning. Now, I'm sure there's some probably in this auditorium this morning of all the different kinds of hearts that we've talked about today, different kinds of ground. Now, if you're here today and you're not bringing forth fruit, that is, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and you also are not producing fruit by sowing, not witnessing, you're not sharing the gospel, you're not concerned about sharing the gospel, then there's some areas, either there's some packed ground in your life, or else there's stones underneath that heart, underneath that soil, and the Word just can't bring forth fruit. While our heads are bowed this morning, maybe someone here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm just not saved, or I'm not sure I'm saved, and I need to be, and I'd like for somebody to take the Bible and show me how and be sure, so I'd be sure about this matter of salvation." Pray for me. Would you slip the hand up right where you are this morning? You say, "Pray for me. I am concerned about this matter, and I want you to pray for me this morning. Pray with me about this." Maybe some Christian here today, you say, "God's spoken to me about the condition of my heart, and it's been described this morning. I see my heart, what my problem is, the reason my life's not more fruitful, or hasn't brought forth any fruit. And I understand it today. And I'd like to be remembered in prayer. I'd like you to pray with me about that. I need to get that thing right, so my heart can be what it ought to be, and I can bring forth the fruit that I need to bring forth." Is there someone this morning that pray with me about that? I need to get that set. Heavenly Father, bless Your Word. May it not return unto Thee void. May it accomplish that whereunto Thou hast sent it this morning. We sense the opposition and the work of the devil, even this morning as we preach, that he's busy picking up seed. He's busy picking up seed. And that grieves our heart, Father. We want the seed of the Word to produce. We want to see it produce fruit in lives. God, have mercy and speak to our hearts this morning, and work in our hearts and lives today, and meet the need in each individual heart here present today. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. God bless you.